Hello, dear friends. Carol Side here with an important message from my heart. I'm sorry to say that when the founders of the homeschool movement died, their messages actually died with them. We don't want that to happen with Homeschool Made Simple. To that end, we have recently become a nonprofit ministry and are working hard to ensure this simple, inexpensive, and enjoyable method of educating our children will continue for many generations to come. If you and your family have benefited from our ministry, would you consider partnering with us financially? Our board has told us that monthly commitments are extremely helpful because they allow us to plan for the year. But one-time gifts here at the end of the year are also very much appreciated. As you pray together daily as a family, would you pray that the Lord would bless and guide us as we look to the future? And please visit our website, homeschoolmadesimple.net/donate, to partner with us in this next chapter. We can't wait to see what the Lord has in store. Blessings.
How do we come to personally know Jesus? Of course, we know him through the Bible, but we also know him through the biographies of men and women who have been personally acquainted with him throughout history. Today, we are diving into the value of biography. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Carol Joy Side has been helping families homeschool for several decades now through her literature-based approach to education. In this episode from the archive, Carol talks with author and professor Lyle Dorset about the power of biography to form us and introduce us to Christians who have gone before us. Listen in.
Well, in my first podcast, I mentioned to our listeners that I was going to be interviewing experts that are in their field that would really help edify and equip our families that are listening. And today, I have the great honor of interviewing Dr. Lyle Dorset. He has a very illustrious and rich history and past. He taught at the University of Colorado and the University of Denver, and then he became the curator of the Wade Center at Wheaton College, which, for some of our families who don't know what that is, it's a collection of, I believe it's 8 Wade authors, starting with C.S. Lewis, and then people like Tolkien, George MacDonald, Dorothy Sayers, Charles Williams, who am I leaving out? Owen Barfield. So there are 8 authors, and all of their writings, things like Dorothy Sayers' spectacles, the quilt that Joy Davidman crocheted when she was alive and suffering from cancer. So it's an amazing place with wonderful resources and research options. And that is part of Wheaton College. And Dr. Dorset, through a series of events, was able to collect all of C.S. Lewis's library and bring it to the college and his papers. And it's just the most wonderful, rich place. And then he was also, part of his job was to be a professor of history there at Wheaton College. And eventually he became the director of the Department of Evangelism and Spiritual Formation. And he was at Wheaton for 30 years, where he mentored my son and myself and many, many, many other people. When he left Wheaton, he left to go serve at Beeson Divinity School in Alabama. And he was the professor of evangelism there for 5 years. And he's recently retired to all of our great sorrow, but he'll never retire because he has so much to share. So I asked him to be with us today because, in addition to all the amazing things I've just told you, Dr. Dorset has written or edited 23 books. He's kind of a busy guy. And I wanted to talk to him today about the power of biography. So welcome, Dr. Dorset.
Thank you, Carol. Good to be with you. Yeah, I have been a reader from the time I was a child. My mother loved books. She read to me before I was old enough to read. And as soon as I could read, she and my father always bought me books.
Wow.
My mother was a great reader. I read a lot. And I just lived in a world of books, among other things, as I grew up. When I went off to college and majored in history, and then did a bachelor's and a master's and a PhD in history. I was involved with writing in the history discipline. You do a lot of writing as a student.
Yes.
But I wrote an MA thesis, which was a biography of a man named Tom Pendergast. Anyway, I wrote a master's thesis and a PhD dissertation on Thomas Pendergast, who was a leading politician in the state of Missouri and was instrumental in getting Harry Truman elected to the Senate, who then, of course, went on and became president. But among the various books I've read, I've enjoyed fiction, I've enjoyed reading history, but I think the genre that I've loved most is biography, because I like to identify with people, real people. And then when I became a Christian, and by the way, I'm a midlife convert, I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was in my 30s. Mm. And anyway, after I became a Christian, my interest in history was in more Christian history and especially biography.
Yes.
And I need to tell you a story about what really got me going.
Okay.
Among my mother's books, and I mentioned she was a great reader, was a book by Catherine Marshall, who was a very well-known author.
Love her.
Wrote a lot of books. Catherine Marshall was married to a very famous preacher, Peter Marshall, and he became the chaplain of the Senate.
Yeah.
And he was a well-known man, very well-known preacher, and he had a church in Washington, D.C., which people were out on the streets on Sunday morning. They couldn't even get in. The place was so full. But she wrote a biography of him entitled A Man Called Peter. There were several of his sermons at the back of the book. And I want to tell you about one of the sermons, and this is what got me moving in a direction of Christian biography. I was reading the sermon that he wrote. The sermon said, he raised the question, he said, if you want to know Jesus Christ, you need to do two things. If you want to get to know him personally, you need to study the Gospels, study what he said and what he did, what he taught, what he preached. He said, but you also should read the biographies of people who were personally acquainted with him.
Mm.
Well, when he said that, I thought, well, where do we get biographies of Peter, James, and John and the disciples?
Right.
But what he meant was, it became apparent, was people who, in our contemporary world, know Jesus well personally. They have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when he said, do you want to know Jesus, then read the Gospels. But he then also said, read the biographies of men who were personally acquainted with him. And these were not people that lived at the time of Jesus, but people who've been personally acquainted with him through his very Holy Spirit in post-biblical times.
Yeah.
And he mentioned three men in particular. He said, read the biographies of George Mueller, Brother Brian of Birmingham, and William P. Jacobs of Thornwell Orphanage. In fact, he said, George Mueller of Bristol, England, Brother Brian of Birmingham. That turned out to be Alabama. I thought it might be England. And then William P. Jacobs of Thornwell Orphanage. I had no idea who William P. Jacobs was or where Thornwell Orphanage was. And in fact, I was teaching a history class at one point, and I happened to ask one night, I said, does anybody here has ever heard of Thornwell Orphanage? And there was an elderly couple that were auditing my history class at the University of Denver. And they said, oh, Thornwell Orphanage is in South Carolina. And it was founded by a pastor named William P. Jacobs. And he started an orphanage for children who were orphans because of the Civil War. This was in the South. There were a lot of widows and had these little orphan children who were wandering the roads. And he started that. Well, anyway, I read William P. Jacobs' autobiography. I read a biography of Brother Brian of Birmingham, Alabama, who was a pastor of the Presbyterian Church there and greatly known and loved. And then a biography of George Mueller, who was from a German who moved to England and took in orphans there, he and his wife. And these books, I found biographies of each of these men and some autobiographical material. And I was deeply stirred by them because I wanted to know, how did they get to know Jesus so well that a man like Peter Marshall would say they were personally acquainted with Jesus?
Yes.
So I began to study their lives, and that got me interested in biography.
JJ Syed here to tell you about a wonderful new resource from Crossway Books, The Biggest Story Holy Bible for Kids. My youngest son is at an age where he wants the whole text of the whole Bible in his hands. He doesn't just want a story Bible anymore. And so I was so pleased to hold in my hands for the first time The Biggest Story Holy Bible for Kids, taking Kevin DeYoung's fantastic writing and adapting it into resource articles and including Don Clark's beautiful artwork throughout, adding in wonderful little definitions throughout. You look down at the bottom of the page in Nehemiah 5:19, remember for my good, oh my God, all that I've done for this people. And then there's a definition at the bottom of the page for the word remember. God never forgets anything. So when the Bible says that he remembers something, it means he puts it at the front of his mind. In Nehemiah 5:19, Nehemiah asks God to keep him in mind, to keep him close to his heart and help him. A wonderful Bible, a wonderful resource that any adult would benefit from, but most certainly our kids. I would strongly encourage you to look this up and consider getting it for your kids. This is a wonderful first gift after one of your children is baptized. The Biggest Story Holy Bible for Kids is maybe my new favorite children's Bible. You can pick up a copy of The Biggest Story Holy Bible for Kids wherever books are sold, or visit crossway.org/kidsstorybible to learn how to get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account. JJ Syed here. One of my favorite resources that we use in our home, CTC Math. The founder, Pat Murray, is an award-winning math teacher, a dad of 10 himself. He teaches the concepts really simply and concretely and quickly. He makes it fun. He gets your kids moving quickly through the lecture into practicing and learning on their own. It's definitely removed a lot of the tears and the tension out of math in our house. There's even a 50% discount for homeschool families. You can go to ctcmath.com to learn more.
And I've had, ever since I became a Christian, I've had a heart for evangelism, to lead lost people to Christ. And I realized one of the most effective ways is to introduce them to interesting people who were Christians. Ah. And people of the past who were Christians. So I started then myself writing Christian biography. I might add that I wrote one book that was biographical, but it wasn't Christian. It was just regular secular history. It was a book called Franklin D. Roosevelt and the Big City Bosses. And I wrote a book on President Roosevelt and the political machines of several cities. And that was not a Christian book. It was written by a Christian, but it was just straight history. But yeah. Then I wrote biographies of six Christians: Dwight Moody, E.M. Bounds, who was a great man of prayer and a pastor, A.W. Tozer, whose writings are still widely read. I wrote a biography of Helen Joy Davidman, who became C.S. Lewis's wife.
Yes.
And I wrote that biography, which became a movie. I wrote a spiritual biography of C.S. Lewis. And then I did a biography of Billy Sunday. Again, I hope that people would get interested in the subject.
Yes.
Through reading biographies that bring people to life. Yes. History's pretty quiet. It doesn't have flesh and blood in it.
Yes.
And so, and those books have, some of them are still in print. Some of them are out of print. But I still carry on correspondence and phone conversations with people who read those books and have come to know Jesus better because they got to know the lives of some people who were personally acquainted with him through the Holy Spirit.
I've read most of the books you just mentioned that you wrote and love them all. You are a very engaging biographer. So the Joy Davidman book, which became the movie Shadowlands, both the British and American, right?
Right.
I know they took some liberties, but love that book. But I think my favorite was Seeking the Secret Place, which was on the spiritual formation of Lewis. Is that the correct title?
Oh, really? Yeah. Spiritual Biography of C.S. Lewis. Seeking the Secret Place is the title of it.
I love that book, Lyle, and it gave me such insight into what made Lewis the man that he became and how the Lord shaped him and drew him and the influences he had and the spiritual director that he met with and so many of his spiritual practices and disciplines that I found really, really helpful. And the other book of yours that I just love, I love them all, but the Dwight Moody book, A Passion for Souls, is that correct?
Right.
Passion for Souls. That book is a barn burner. And my son, JJ, that's his favorite biography. And of course, he loves you so much anyway, but he loves that book. And what I loved about the Moody book that you wrote is his humanity. You talked about him as a father and him as a husband and just his approachableness, his how down to earth he was, how real, how genuinely kind and generous he was. And I want to crawl into people's skin. I read biographies constantly, and I just feel like they brush up my soul, you know, like you were a Marine and you are very into polished shoes, aren't you? And shined
yeah.
shoes. Well, I feel like biographies shine my soul up. And, you know, years ago, when you were our pastor there in Wheaton, I think it was 1 year during Lent, I told you that the Lord told me I was to remove all other influences, you know, magazines, catalogs, anything like that, any other books. And I was just to read biographies. I think I read like 20 or 40 biographies that year. And I remember after church one day talking to you about, I think it was George Mueller we were talking about. And I felt so convicted because I told you, here is a man, I think in his 80s, that traveled more than any person I've ever heard of in my life. And you kind of said, oh, don't take it too personally. But I felt so convicted because he never succumbed to self-pity or personal comfort. You know, that's the kind of thing when you read a biography that you get challenged, you get inspired. What of all the books you've written, what's your favorite?
Oh, that's hard. Probably of all the books I've written, that's a hard one for me to say.
Okay.
Because the time, I suppose the biography of Helen Joy Davidman, Mrs. Uh-huh. C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
And then C.S. Lewis's writings were instrumental in my conversion.
Yes.
And I read through as much of Lewis as I could get my hands on after I became a believer. What I wanted to know, and there were biographies written of Lewis, but nobody explained how he grew in his faith.
Yes.
Most of the biographical writing of Lewis went this way. Here's this man who becomes a Christian. Here's this secular professor who becomes a Christian. And all of a sudden, he's this full-blown Christian.
Yeah.
Well, nobody's that way. People have to grow up in the faith in the same way that they have to grow up physically.
Yes.
Babies are born, they're not mature until they gradually grow up. And when we are born again, we're infants in Christ. We've got to grow up into childhood and teen life and maturity. And I wanted to know how Lewis grew spiritually. How did he go from being a brand new believer into such a mature, fruit-bearing Christian? And so my book was based on that and Seeking the Secret Place. And the reason I took that title or I employed that title was Lewis said one time to somebody, he said somebody had contacted him and wanted to know, you know, if he had any spiritual disciplines, what did he do with his life and how did he read scripture? And he said, I go to the secret place. In other words, I go and get alone with the Lord in prayer. I read, I pray, I listen to him through scripture. I listen to what the Spirit says to me as I'm being alone with him. And he encouraged one man that wrote to him. He said, daily seek the secret place. In other words, get off alone where it's just you and the Lord.
Yes. Amen. And his book, Letters to Malcolm, chiefly on prayer, also, I think, gives us a real insight into his spiritual formation, don't you?
Definitely. That's a very good book. It's a great book. Letters, it's fictional letters. He didn't really write to a man named Malcolm, but he decided he wanted to write a book on prayer, but thought people aren't going to read a book that says, here's how to pray.
Right.
They don't want a how-to book, but if you could, he decided to use the create letters that a man named Malcolm and was writing to this Christian. Anyway, on and on. And questions are raised by somebody who wants to know more about the faith named Malcolm. And it's just wonderful. It's kind of like the Screwtape Letters Lewis wrote. Most people aren't going to pick up a book on the devil and how he works. So it's just not an attractive topic. But if you can see the devil having certain angels that work for him, unholy angels, if you will, evil angels, he had conversations going on with letters between these people. So that was, again, it was a vehicle to draw people in rather than say, here's a book on evil. Here's a book on Satan. Or here's a book on prayer. Some people will pick that up. But if you can read some letters that really humanize it, it comes alive.
It's powerful.
Alive. And that's what Lewis was good at.
Yeah. That was the first Christian book I ever read, was Screwtape Letters, as a probably 3-week-old Christian. Yeah, someone just handed it to me, and I didn't know anything. But I knew the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series, so I read it. And yeah, it's wonderful. Well, if you, as we're closing, if you had some advice to families as they're raising their children and as they're reading out loud with their kids, how would you encourage them in this area of their children's spiritual formation regarding biography?
Well, I think I would begin by talking about the lives of some people in the Bible and just taking out a life from the scriptures, certainly Jesus, but Moses, and you know, on and on we can go. And what do we learn from this person's life? Because I think people identify, children identify with people. Everybody identifies with people more than they do movements.
Yes.
It's one thing to study the great movements of history, but it's another thing to talk about the people that were in those movements.
Individual.
And so I think that that's what I would do. I would go through the biblical ones, but there's some good Christian biography out there for children. There are authors out there that write for children. They write for teens.
True.
And I do think that, though, that you could go from little cameo portraits of Christians for children to read. Somebody could read aloud to them, or they can read on their own depending upon how advanced they are and how old they are. But I also think that my mother read to me adult books when I was a child.
Yeah.
And I understood a lot of it.
I know.
Huckleberry Finn is not a children's book. My mother read it to me when I was a child. Tom Sawyer is more of a young person's book. But even that, my mother read them to me when I was a child, and I understood them. And if I have questions, I'd stop and ask her, and she'd explain it to me.
Yes.
So I think getting a parent involved with a child in the reading process is a good place to begin.
Yes. You know, Lyle, years ago, you gave me a list from one of the classes that you taught at Wheaton. It was a list of biographies. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And I...
In fact, you wanted to know, and that caused me to write the list down. I ended up giving out over the years. So thank you for doing that.
You bet. And it's such a treasure that I used it to build a children's biography list. And I put all those adult books in the children's biography list that I give to families in my seminars. So I built it from the list you created because it was such a good list. Yeah. Yeah, you have so much to offer us. I'd love to do another one of these someday soon, but we need to close. But thank you for the spiritual formation that you have affected in my life, in my son's life, and in thousands and thousands of college students' lives. None of us will ever be the same for having known both you and Mary. And I just want to thank you. Makes me cry.
You're welcome. And all glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.